Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 10 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Joshua Grandison.
And I'm Shelby Steele.
It will also give us more of an opportunity, I think, to benchmark our international competition and be aware of the global competition for jobs.
Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher says the nation's schools need to better prepare students for a changing workforce.
A bill requiring women who are seeking abortions to consult with a doctor before the procedure has cleared the state Senate.
And Moorhead police are still hunting a man who stabbed the manager of the local Sonic drive-in and robbed the store.
In sports, Moorhead State and Belmont battle for number one in the East Division in hoops tonight.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
There's a wind chill advisory in effect tonight. The complete weather forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
We'll begin our program today with a list of school closings and delays. Bourbon Christian Academy in Bourbon County is on a one-hour delay, and St. Mary Parish School is on a two-hour delay for Friday. Bourbon, Carter, and Christian Traditional School in Mount Sterling are all closed tomorrow. Clark County, Elliott County, Fleming County, Johnson, Lawrence, McGoffin, Martin, Menifee, Montgomery, Morgan, Nicholas, Powell, Rowan, and Wolf County schools are all closed for Friday. We'll keep you posted as the list of school closings for tomorrow continues to change. An Ashland City Commissioner says the recent chemical spill in nearby Charleston, West Virginia, that contaminated the regional water supply was a wake-up call. Cheryl Spriggs says Ashland took immediate action to safeguard its water from the Ohio River by shutting down its system and switching to its reserve supply. She says intake valves were closed until the chemical passed the Boyd County community as it continued flowing up the river. Although she applauds the city's response, Spriggs says Ashland needs to improve its emergency communications.
I think where we kind of came down flat-footed was in our emergency information dissemination to the public. So many of the people didn't know what was going on. A lot of people did not get the paper, even though we had it out there on all kinds of social media. I mean, we really need to have a plan, a really good plan, and I think that includes having a dedicated phone line.
Spriggs wants the city to develop a better plan for keeping citizens informed during emergencies.
A relative of an Ashland couple who donated 45 acres to the city for a nature park says community support for its development is widespread. April Russell Perry is the granddaughter of the late Charles and Betty Russell, who deeded the land near Central Park to the city in the 1970s. She told city commissioners this afternoon that individuals and civic organizations are rallying behind the effort to put hiking trails on the property.
Various organizations that are willing to give us grants, make donations, and just a lot of people in our community that are excited about this. I've been amazed to hear all the people that have played on this land as children, and now as adults, they want to see the walking trails there so they can continue to enjoy it and their families can enjoy it for years to come.
Perry believes volunteer support for the project ensures that it can be completed at minimal cost to the city. All the commissioners indicate the support developing the park, but they say there are questions about parking, fire protection, liability, insurance, and ongoing maintenance of a new facility that need further study. City Manager Benjamin Bitter says there's a meeting tomorrow of department heads to future explore those issues.
The Moorhead Police Department is still searching for the man who stabbed and robbed the Stone Street Sonic manager yesterday morning. MPD Captain Dave Sexton says there hasn't been any significant progress just yet in the case.
We've done the initial investigation. Our detective is doing the follow-ups with the victim and the manager of the store. Nothing really to follow up. But we've been trying to check for any surveillance cameras in the area. Haven't come up with anything on that yet.
The suspect is said to be a 40-year-old man, around 6'2" tall, with brown hair. He also has a cross tattoo on his right hand. If anyone has any tips or information, contact the Moorhead Police Department at 606-784-7511.
Police arrested a Fairview High School student Tuesday after he allegedly threatened to blow up the school. The Ashland Independent reports the minor allegedly posted the threat on his Facebook page. Apart from the statement which read, "If Fairview isn't closed tomorrow, I'm going to blow it up." There was nothing else to suggest violence on the students' page. School officials are waiting to see how authorities handle the case. Superintendent Bill Music says he'll back them 100%.
Three people are now facing charges after a child was found in a cold and filthy home in Rowan County. WLEX-TV reports state police went to the home of Rebecca and Timothy Jones to do a welfare check when they found a child with an aunt living in deplorable conditions. Within the home, officers found thousands of roaches, trash that covered most of the floor, and animal feces in several places, including the child's room. Allegations of the conditions date back to November. Rebecca and Timothy Jones and the child's aunt, Leslie Yensler, are charged with endangering the welfare of a minor.
Three Carter County men pleaded guilty yesterday in federal court to participating in an elaborate underground pill trafficking network. The Ashland Independent reports 42-year-old Scott Gillum, 38-year-old Michael Scott Logan, and 28-year-old Brandon Logan of Olive Hill all entered guilty pleas to conspiracy to distribute oxycodone. They were named in an indictment returned on November 7th by a federal grand jury. The indictment alleged between June 2010 and June of 2013, the defendants conspired together and with others to knowingly and intentionally distribute and possess with intent to distribute pills containing oxycodone. The charge carries up to a 20-year prison sentence and a $1 million fine. All three men are currently in custody.
House Speaker Greg Stumbo says he is glad Governor Steve Beshear has proposed continuing a scholarship program for students from Kentucky's coal counties in a new two-year budget plan. Stumbo is a Democrat from one of those counties, Floyd.
We had 100 kids that graduated last year because of that, with a four-year degree that could have never gotten a four-year degree. That's a small step, but since we don't have a regional public university up there like the other parts of the state, it's a very important step forward, I think, for us to maintain our competitiveness as we move forward in eastern Kentucky.
Stumbo spoke on KET following the governor's budget address on Tuesday night.
The mayor of Kentucky's largest city says the nation's schools need to do a better job preparing students for the 21st century workforce. Louisville Greg Fisher made the comment in Washington Wednesday at a U.S. conference of mayors meetings. Fisher serves on a task force for improving education.
There's just a fundamental disconnect around most of the country, it seems like, between what the rapidly changing needs of the workforce are and what's coming out of our educational institutions. Exactly. And all the way going back into grade school, where we should be teaching basic problem solving and data collection and analysis.
Fisher says the educational system needs to identify what the jobs are and help students develop the skills they'll need to perform them. The task force met with the U.S. Education Secretary Arnie Duncan.
A Kentucky congressman known for his efforts to rein in federal spending says the U.S. should be putting more money into its transportation systems. Lewis County Republican Thomas Massey serves on the House Transportation Committee. He spoke with Inside Cable's Pure Politics program.
I am committed to transportation infrastructure. I believe it's one of the fundamental roles of government. That's why I got on the Transportation Committee. And I'm going to advocate, actually, for more spending on our nation's transportation infrastructure, not less.
Massey says the Highway Trust Fund accounts for less than 2% of the federal budget.
Kentucky Power Construction and contract crews will be restricting traffic in Boyd County along U.S. Route 23 starting this Sunday. Spokesman Ron Robinson says the restrictions are necessary in order for Kentucky Power to safely install and remove power lines across the roadway. He says the work will require several brief closures of the road.
The road and lane closures will happen at various times throughout the day, and we anticipate they shouldn't be any more than about 5 minutes at a time during those periods, 9:30 to 5:30 on that Sunday afternoon.
Construction of the new lines will take place on Sunday, January 26th, between the hours of 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Restoration of the Cabin Creek Bridge in Lewis County is nearing its completion under the work of Arnold Grayton Associates out of New Hampshire. The restoration plans began in the early to mid-1990s, and Grayton was hired in 2009 to complete the project. He says the stabilization of the bridge is the main concern, as flooding has eroded the banks underneath.
We've just taken the temporary steel truss out that was holding it up while we were doing the repair work. We just took it out last week, but the Cabin Creek Bridge is now on its own. It has 8.5 inches of a camber, where it, when we arrived there in 09, it had a negative camber of 23 inches.
The project is scheduled to be finished within the next 3 weeks, as Grayton hopes to see the bridge open to small vehicle traffic once it is completed.
The longtime mayor of Flatwoods won't seek re-election, MSPR's Jordan Simonson reports.
According to the Ashland Independent, Mayor Bobby Crager has announced that he will not file for a sixth term. Crager has been Flatwoods mayor for 25 years. He began his term in office in 1989, the same year that the first animated series aired on TV, Nintendo released its first Game Boy in the U.S., and the first George Bush became president. Crager told the paper that he had been in office long enough and is looking forward to spending more time with his family after he retires. Crager says his proudest accomplishments of mayor have been bringing new medical clinics to the area, the building of a city park, and the opening of a new library branch. Crager believes that he is leaving Flatwoods in a good spot for the next city's mayor. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Jordan Simonson.
And finally in today's news, a Southern Ohio lawmaker is proposing an amendment to the state constitution that would make it easier to recall elected officials. Republican John Becker of Claremont County is a co-sponsor of a resolution that would put the issue on the ballot for Ohio voters to decide. He spoke at a press conference in Columbus.
In current law, there are some limited provisions for municipalities to have recall elections, but it is very limited. So this being a constitutional amendment, it will cover municipalities and what I'd like to say from dog catcher all the way up from all the way up to governor.
Becker says the recall process would start when voters from a town or county or from the whole state would gather enough signatures to equal 15% of the votes cast in the presidential or gubernatorial election. He says a new candidate could be placed on the ballot by collecting the number of signatures now required for independent candidates.
The weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Bath, Fleming, and Magoffin, there's a wind chill advisory in effect from 7 this evening to 10 a.m. on Friday. Tonight will be partly cloudy, cold, with lows around 2 degrees, wind chills as low as 11 below. Friday, mostly sunny, cold, with highs around 21, wind chills as low as 11 below in the morning. Friday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then mostly cloudy with a chance of snow showers after midnight. Not as cold, near steady temperatures around 20, gust of wind up to 35 miles per hour, and a chance of snow will be 50%. Now looking at the temperatures of the cities around Moorhead. In Ashland, it's 13 degrees, Flemingsburg, 9 degrees, Winchester is 11 degrees, Lexington, 9, Inez 15 degrees, and Moorhead it's 10 degrees.
Here's a list of school closings for tomorrow. Schools in Bourbon, Carter, Clark, Elliott, Fleming, Johnson, Lawrence, Magoffin, Martin, Menifee, Montgomery, Morgan, Nicholas, Powell, Wolf, and here in Rowland County, schools in all of those counties will be closed. Bourbon Christian Academy will be on a one-hour delay. St. Mary Parish will be on a two-hour delay. And Christian Traditional in Mount Sterling will be closed tomorrow. The time is 4:43. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Joshua Grandison here with Shelby Steele, and we're glad to have your company on this Thursday afternoon. Stay tuned. At 5 o'clock, it's All Things Considered from NPR. And at 7, Americana Crossroads with host Carly Dawn. Moving now to our feature segment for this afternoon, Carter Caves State Resort Park is getting ready for its featured annual winter event, and MSPR's own Jordan Simonson reports on that story.
The Winter Adventure Weekend will be this Friday through Sunday. The event is entering its fifth year. It was designed to replace the very popular Carter Caves Crawlathon, which had to be suspended when park officials had to close some of the facility's caves down because the local bat population had become at risk for the deadly white nose syndrome. The naturalist at Carter Caves is Coy Ainsley, who explains how the idea for the Winter Adventure Weekend was sparked.
Following year, a lot of the volunteers decided to get back together and offer an event similar to Crawlathon, but with different types of activities.
According to Ainsley, the Winter Adventure Weekend features an assortment of different types of outdoor activities.
It's just a conglomeration of programs such as backpacking, hiking, rappelling, rock climbing, birding. It just has a whole bunch of different types of programs.
Although most of these activities are well known and have become crowd favorites over the years, the 2014 event will introduce something new, slacklining.
Slacklining is a program that we are offering this year, and it's kind of like a balance type activity where you have a piece of 2-inch webbing that's stretched between two stagnant points, and you attempt to walk that line. And
Ainsley says that the Winter Adventure Weekend differs from the Old Caves Crawlathon by featuring field trips that are designed for beginners rather than skilled adventurers.
The majority of them are kind of like a 101 type of trip where folks can come out and try out these outdoor activities before they may decide to pursue one of those for their leisure time themselves.
Ainsley says that those taking part in the Winter Adventure Weekend will be encouraged to take photos, and these photos will be shared with other people attending the event.
And it goes right into a slideshow that's running on many TVs within the lodge, so it's kind of a real-time update throughout the weekend of what people are doing out there on these field trips.
Even though some of the park's caves aren't available to the public right now due to the white nose syndrome issue, there's another way for those at the Winter Adventure Weekend to get a caving experience. Workers at the park are constructing a cave that's made entirely out of cardboard boxes. Ainsley says that it has over 600 feet of passages and it's only getting bigger. Ainsley also says Carter Caves hopes to submit it to the Guinness Book of World Records as the largest cardboard cave.
You know, everybody as a kid has played in a cardboard box or two, or hooked a few boxes together and made a playhouse or maybe a tunnel. But this is like a very huge cave made out of all of these boxes.
Ainsley says that the Winter Adventure Weekend comes at a good time of the year for Carter Cave State Resort Park. It helps boost its attendance during a generally slow time, and adds it also allows visitors to experience the park when it isn't crowded, along with also getting them out of their homes.
And it's a good time of year to get people outside in January, where people have been cooped up in the cold weather the last couple of months.
The Winter Adventure Weekend takes place this weekend at Carter Cave State Resort Park. Registration is still open online at www.winteradventureweekend.com. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Jordan Simonson.
It is 4:47. You're listening to Mountain Edition here on WMKY. Mike Williams has been keeping a check of your sports world, and he's up after a quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery in historic downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features original and unique gifts, including local artwork, fine jewelry, gemstones, sculptures, and natural art from around the world. Eat Gallery offers heirlooms, including earrings, bracelets, necklaces, and original artwork by Rob Weingartner and Fred Weisner. Open Tuesdays through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eat Gallery in Maysville is online at eatgallery.com.
The Eagles and Bruins meet in the Music City. Good afternoon. Public Radio Sports Time is 4:48. I'm Mike Williams reporting. The Morehead State basketball Eagles are in Nashville tonight at 8 for a big OVC game against Belmont. MSU will have a chance to take over first place in the East Division from the Bruins, who the Eagles trail by just a half game. However, Coach Sean Woods admits accomplishing that feat will be easier said than done, saying that Morehead will have to be at the top of its game defensively to stop the explosive Bruins.
They're the best shooting basketball team in the country. No doubt about it. OVC, whatever. They're 1 through 5 can shoot the basketball like no other. There's not a person on their team that shoots below 35% from three. So we got our work cut out for us, and hopefully we may have to play small ball because their five-man is probably one of their better shooters.
While MSU is 4-1 in conference play, Belmont is 5-1. The Bruins knocked off the Eagles in both of their meetings with them last season. The top team in the Associated Press men's basketball poll has a game tonight. Number 1 Arizona is home to Colorado in a Pac-12 contest. Arizona, which is 18-0, has won its last 15 straight home games. Even though UK men's sophomore standout Willie Cauley-Stein only scored 1 point in the Cats' win over Texas A&M on Wednesday night, his teammates are confident he will bounce back. That's according to fellow sophomore standout Alex Poythress. He says sometimes during the season, you can just get into a funk.
For Willie, you know, you just got to play with energy. We know what he can do. We know what he's doing. He's just in a little funk right now, you know. We all been through it. He's doing good in practice. It's not nothing that we know he can't do, you know. He's just in a little funk. He'll get out of it because we need him to go down the stretch. He's a big part of our team.
In the last three games combined, Collie Stein has only tallied 3 points and 10 rebounds. The 14th-ranked Wildcats will entertain conference foe Georgia on Saturday afternoon at 1:30. The Bulldogs enjoy a 10-7 overall record and a 4-1 mark in conference play. After being postponed last night at Fairview, the Round County boys basketball team is battling Wolf County this afternoon. Currently, the Vikings and Wolves all tied up at 57. The 11-7 Vikings are riding a three-game winning streak into this afternoon's contest. Among other things that Coach Sean Thacker likes about his team is its ability to put points on the scoreboard.
If you want to look at something we got to hang our hat on, is definitely we shoot the basketball extremely well from the field, from the line. You know, our two-point field goal percentage is up around 60%. Our three-point field goal percentage is around 40%. Our free throw shooting is at 69, and, you know, we're striving for 70. So it's something that, you know, we've been slowly bringing it up.
Junior guard Ryan Callahan leads Rowan County with an average of nearly 20 points a game. Wolf County came into this afternoon's contest with a 10-5 record. USA Basketball announced their 28-player pool for the next three summers that is split between 14 veterans and 14 newcomers. MSPR's Chase Scott takes a look at that roster.
As the quest to narrow down the roster to just 12 players for this fall's World Cup of Basketball, the pool has some old faces but also brings in a variety of new players. Chosen by USAB Chairman Jerry Colangelo and Coach Mike Krzyzewski, the pool features names such as LeBron James, Chris Paul, and Kevin Durant, while welcoming in new players like DeMarcus Cousins, Kenneth Faried, and Kyle Korver. The only member of Krzyzewski's 2012 Olympic roster who will not continue in the program is Kobe Bryant, who reiterated earlier this week that London was his last Olympic go-around. Reporting for MSPR Sports, I'm Chase Scott.
Transfers to its roster. Head coach Rob Tenyer says quarterback Tyler Rice is coming to MSU after two seasons at UT Martin, while safety Braylon Cook and wide receiver Trayvon Reese are joining the Eagles after spending last fall at prep schools.
Those guys are working out with us right now in the weight room and going to class and looking for big things, and they'll have a tremendous opportunity once spring practice starts.
Rice will have 2 years of eligibility at MSU. A former All-State quarterback out of Tennessee, the 6'3", 195-pound product of Wayne County High School threw for over 6,300 yards and 87 touchdowns during his prep career. The Cleveland Browns have hired Buffalo defensive coordinator Mike Petting as their coach, ending a twisting nearly four-week search. Petting finalized a contract today with the Browns, who fired Rob Chudzinski on December 29th following one season. The 47-year-old Petting, son of a legendary Pennsylvania high school coach, spent 1 year with the Bills after four as Rex Ryan's defensive coordinator with the New York Jets. Running back Adrian Peterson of the Vikings is recovering from groin surgery and is expected to spend the next 6 weeks recuperating. This was Peterson's third surgery in the last 25 months. And NASCAR has reinstated suspended Michael Waltrip racing executive Ty Norris. Norris was suspended indefinitely in September after the race team was caught trying to manipulate the finish of a Sprint Cup race at Richmond International Raceway. Norris was heard on radio ordering driver Brian Vickers to pit to help his teammate Martin Truex Jr.'s finishing position. And finally, the second men's semifinal at the Australian Open is tonight. U.S. time, top seed Rafael Nadal is facing number 6, Roger Federer. That's a check of sports this afternoon on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Mike Williams reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will host OVC opponent Belmont in MSU's Academic Athletic Center on Wednesday, January 29th. Tip-off is set for 9 p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks declined sharply, with the Dow extending losses into a third session after measures of U.S. and Chinese manufacturing disappointed, and as Wall Street considered quarterly reports from companies including McDonald's and Netflix. And the Dow showing a big loss today, down 175.99 at 16,197.35. The S&P 500 was down 16.4 at 1828.46. The NASDAQ Composite, which has been strong recently, finished with a loss of 24.13 at 4218.87. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 2-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Asian stocks were hard hit earlier today after a Chinese gauge fell to 49.6 from 50.5, which was a purchasing manager's index report from China, and of course that was weaker than expected, and that did affect our markets as well. Conversely, a Euro area manufacturing index climbed to 53.9 from 52.7 in December, and U.S. manufacturing growth itself slowed in January. After falling as much as 232 points during the session, the Dow obviously finishing well off of its earlier day lows, shares of Herbalife fell nearly 11% after a report that a U.S. senator was calling for a probe of the nutrition company, which has been accused of running a pyramid scheme by hedge fund manager William Ackman. Netflix jumped after it forecast customer growth that beat expectations. McDonald's shares wavered after the fast food chain and Dow component reported weaker than expected quarterly revenue. The dollar held steady against other currencies today, while the 10-year Treasury bond dropped 9 basis points to finish at 2.78%, which would be the low so far in 2014. Crude oil futures rose 59 cents to finish at $97.32 a barrel, and gold rose $23.70 to finish at $1,262.30 an ounce. Earlier today, applications for U.S. jobless benefits last week were reported rising by 1,000 to 326,000. Another report had existing home sales totaling 4.87 million in December versus a 4.94 million estimate. And the Conference Board's index of U.S. leading indicators climbed 0.1% in December after a revised 1% rise the month before. Turning out to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down 61 cents at 97.04. CSX down 20 cents at 27.02, AEP up 11 cents at 47.63, AK Steel down 1 penny at 6.69, Marathon Petroleum down 14 cents at 85.44, and Community Trust Bank was down 26 cents to finish at 42.77. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided in part by Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky. Each day, around 2,000 vehicles are made at the Georgetown plant. A factory tour gives you an insightful look at what goes into building the Avalon, Venza, and Camry. You can ride a guided tram car and see the process from start to finish, including a glimpse of giant cold-rolled steel coils that automatically presses shape into doors, hoods, and roofs. Tours are Monday through Friday, and reservations are highly recommended. ToyotaGeorgetown.com.
The weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the cities of Ashland, Clearfield, and Grayson, there's a wind chill advisory in effect from 7 this evening to 10 a.m. Friday. Tonight, partly cloudy, cold with lows around 2 degrees, wind chills as low as 11 below. Friday, mostly sunny, cold with highs around 21, wind chills as low as 11 below in the morning. Friday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then mostly cloudy with a chance of snow showers after midnight. Not as cold, near steady temperature around 20 degrees, gust of wind up to 35 miles per hour, chance of snow 50%. Saturday will be cloudy, snow likely in the morning, then a chance of snow showers in the afternoon. Light snow accumulation possible, not as cool with highs near 35, gust of wind up to 35 miles per hour, chance of snow 60%. And now checking out the temperatures around the cities of Moorhead. Ashland is 13 degrees, Flemingsburg and Lexington is 9 degrees, Winchester 11 degrees, Inez 15 degrees, and in Moorhead it's currently 10 degrees.
And that wraps it up for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help on today's program from Chuck Moraz, Mike Williams, Tanner Boyd, Chase Scott, Arlo Barnett, Jordan Simonson, and as always, Dan Conte. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH in Inez. You can find us online at WMKY.org, where you can listen to daily archived show, our show, which is archived daily on the web. For Shelby Steele and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Joshua Grandison for Morehead State Public Radio News. Stay tuned. All Things Considered is up next. It's 5 o'clock.